the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 148 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of October 10th, 2018, brought to you by Warby Parker. This week, we've got more zombie retailers, video games sent from the clouds, and DC might actually have some hope? Maybe? I'm CJ, and I got with me Dom and TJ.
What the fuck you clapping for? This isn't a fucking... we're not lining up audio and video.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're doing.
It's our clap
board. It's a single applause. That's all you get, TJ. You get one clap and then you're done.
Yep. That's more than I deserve.
Speed. Rolling. Action.
Cut.
Perfect. Cut. Print sheet cake.
Did you say print sheet cake?
Yeah, print sheet cake.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what you do after a movie?
That's for the wrap party.
Yeah.
You print a sheet cake.
Sheet cake.
A hotel, like, you know, you have those pancake printers. Is that the nighttime dessert thing?
Yeah, yeah.
God, print cake. I really want a pancake printer.
I know, those are sheet cake. They're not great pancakes.
They probably suck.
There's so many of them that you don't care. How the fuck did we get to this point?
Who knows?
I don't know. What are you two nerds playing besides with each other?
That's it. So, we are actually playing Forza Horizon 4.
There it is. Yeah. Now that we started the episode.
We did start the episode. I can't recommend this game enough.
I've been recommending it since the first one.
Yeah.
So, the third one wasn't great.
But you still liked it.
I still enjoyed it the hell out
of
it.
It's documented how much you love this series. I'd never played it before, so I was happy to get this. And everything that I thought and that Need for Speed Payback was supposed to be, this game actually is.
Yeah,
buddy.
Number one, fun. Number two, not stupid.
Because like the storyline's kind of the same throughout each game. You're showing up to this giant festival, the Horizon Festival, in a different country. You just do every single event, like dirt racing. They have separate road racing. They have this one has an awesome thing where you're a stunt driver for movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I
like
saw
each
that.
Each chapter has like a different thing.
Yeah,
you have
that was really
that's
cool
like
when I was watching Dom.
Yeah, that's
do
like
it.
Kind of the main story. It seems like the rest of the events are just to like get you through and get you used to it. But like the main story is progressed mostly along the stunt driving, and then there's like specific Horizon events at the end of each season.
Yeah,
because it takes place in different seasons. Like you play the different seasons, which the cars react to totally different. Like winter is just like fucking. We don't have snow tires.
What was the car that you were talking about? And you were TJ. You said like just wait until you drive it or try driving in the snow.
Oh yeah, I bought a car. I don't remember what it was called. It was a 1968 something. It looked like kind of like a Volkswagen Beetle, but even worse. I told Lauren to pick out a car and I would buy it. So she had to get the stupidest fucking thing ever.
Right.
And it topped out. When going downhill, we hit 78 miles an hour. At one point, I was on a straight road and I was going like 50, and then I went up a hill slightly and I dropped 20 miles an hour by the time I got to the top of the hill.
Fun
the best
fact
part is you can feel the wheels just shake off.
It was so terrible.
Fun fact, the car comes pre-equipped with pre-compressed brakes.
And also the gerbils are fed.
Yeah. That was the biggest pile of shit I ever tried.
I don't know. The Domino's delivery service I had
so
going on.
Was that the Reliant with three wheels?
Yep.
So
that's the Reliant Robin.
Anyone who wants to check out our Twitter page, I've been posting clips of me and TJ playing, and you bought the Reliant Robin, which is a three-wheeled, the stupidest car that's ever been invented.
It's three-wheeled with
so
the one wheel in the front instead of the back.
Which if you know anything about trikes,
they fall over.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, it don't work.
So they did a Top Gear episode on it where that car just tips over anytime you do that. So
they did a challenge where they tried driving around a bunch of roundabouts.
Yep.
So
terrible.
They also, side note, if you buy the car, there's a body kit part that adds on training wheels.
Yeah,
that's
from
awesome.
The show.
I like it.
So
I like
you
it.
Can add them on. They
that
just like kind of like bounce the car out.
Yeah. So you wrapped yours with a Domino's Pizza logo,
yes,
which was just the best touch ever.
The best was that wasn't the only one. There was Domino's. There was UPS, DHL.
That's hysterical.
It was
oh
like
my God.
The people creating like the paint jobs and stuff. the designs are amazing.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're so good. Like, there's police cars that look almost identical to the real thing. There's Reliant Robins that have fucking...
So we're driving in the snow, and I'm driving, like, an Audi R8. Yeah. You know, this thing is 0 to 60 in, like, 4 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
So you're driving, and you cut in front of me to make a turn, and I just hit your car and just fucking flips. Like, 6 flips.
Yeah, I think it was about 6 or 7 flips I did.
Yeah. That was perfect.
The best part was after we played, I upgraded that car to like an S1 rank, which is Ferrari territory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which the thing just spins.
Yeah.
There's no going straight with the fucking thing because there's no grip. So it just spins out of control.
Yeah. But like, it's one of those games that like, it's just fun no matter what you do. We spent probably like 15 to 20 minutes on a giant frozen lake just spinning our tires and spinning around. And. Yeah. The way that the servers are set up is there's just other people in the environment. So you can interact with them, you can say hi to them, you can invite them into your convoy so that you can all race together. So we go on there and there's probably like 6 other people doing the exact same thing, driving in circles around the frozen lake, spinning out. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is exactly what I was looking for. So we invited one dude to our convoy and he like did a race with us. It was just the 3 of us doing a race. And like, it was cool. Like, we went to the race and just did it.
3 of us doing a race after some asshole after the 3rd turn threw me into the fucking wall.
You should drive better. Avoid those walls.
I made it to the 3rd turn and Dom shoved me into a wall and I never I didn't see anyone after that.
Fast and furious, motherfucker.
It's just an all around amazing game. You know, by the 4th one, you think, oh, they can't come up with anything new. And there's not a ton that's like super new to the franchise, but it's done so well that it's a fun game. Mm-hmm. And you have so many fucking cars to pick from as well. Even though they got rid of Mitsubishi and Toyota.
Yep. There's over 450 cars that you can choose from. I mean, to buy most of them. One thing that I like, though, is that they're all like realistic prices. So, like, instead of getting dollars, you get credits, but it doesn't matter. If you're getting, like, an $800,000 car, it's going to cost you 800 credits. So, I was like, that's pretty cool because, like, it's actually at least reflective of the real world. Where,
yeah, there's, like, well, except, like, some of the Ferraris are, like, 10 million credits when they're actually, like, 100 million. Like, $100 million or $500 million.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still, like, enough that, like, it's out of reach of most of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, it's just fun. They have good radio stations. One of my favorite things that they did is it's small, but they have a streamer mode in there where the radio only plays original tracks so that you can actually stream it without getting in trouble for copyright issues.
That's
which is great.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Instead of having for those games,
right?
Especially
so,
sports games.
Exactly.
Too.
So normally you have to just turn the music off and then it's just like boring silence. So at least they gave you the option of like just play original music. And like that's just really cool. I wish there was an easier way to turn it on rather than going into, you know,
options, settings,
audio. But like, it was a cool idea and I'm glad that they did it.
Yeah. I really do like that. Like, a lot of gaming companies are starting to pay attention more to like streamers and actually like build stuff for streamers like Forza did, but also all the people who make the Jackbox Party Pack games, they have like a streamer mode and then like just like a normal mode, which is really cool.
All right, well,
I still think the best is the showcases at the end of the season. So we were talking about before, which you're racing like ridiculous shit.
Oh yeah, the first one is a fan boat.
Yeah,
a hover boat.
A huge hover boat.
I like
the
it.
Second one's a fucking, I think, a huge like old school train.
Yeah, I haven't done the second one. Wait, did I?
I did the
train. I'm in winter. No, I didn't do the train. I've only done the hover boat so far.
The end.
Yeah.
And then the third one is motocross bikes.
Yeah,
racing those through like trees and
that's
shit.
Fun.
Yeah. See, now I'm just waiting for Forza to just inevitably turn into like farming simulator.
Yeah, farm simulator.
Yeah, it's just gonna be like every type of like, because like I really like that they brought in the whole stunt driving because it's more than just, you think it's like, oh, it's a car game, so it's just gonna be like racing and like, or street racing or something like that. Yeah. But you know, like it could be like F1, you know, stuff or street racing. Yes, dirt tracks. Like there's a lot more to.
Yeah, it's just
driving
a mix
cars,
of everything.
And
but
also,
stunt
how
driving is a very interesting thing that they did.
But it's funny because like a lot of these things are the things that I really liked about Burnout Paradise. Like that was a huge chunk of it, was doing stunts and like, you know, do a flip, do this, try a barrel roll, like things like that. Do a barrel roll.
Zero twice.
So like it's really cool because like I saw a lot of that in Need for Speed Payback.
Yeah.
That just wasn't done well.
Yeah.
And now this, it's like, oh, this is done well. Like, this is what it was supposed to be. And the only thing it's missing from Burnout is the takedowns.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Which, I mean, you could ramp up the damage to realistic and probably get like,
yeah,
fucking things explode.
Yeah, yeah. Your car wouldn't survive.
Yeah. No. You can turn on damage to like your engine and tires. Your tires will just pop. Like, yeah. I kind of want to do that, but I'm like, I'm going to wreck my car immediately.
This is, I found like, cause the map is huge and has totally different areas. I found a fucking mountain. Mm-hmm. And I fucking got to the top of it and just drove off.
Oh, I did the same thing. That's also on Twitter. I did a fucking barrel roll and smashed into the ground and then like did like a...
It's great. It's such a good game. If you like racing games at all,
yeah,
fucking Forza Horizon series is probably the best one out of the bunch.
But it's Xbox exclusive, so that's...
Yeah, so you get PC and Xbox.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably one of the only exclusives so that I played.
It's Microsoft
exclusive.
It's Microsoft exclusive, like Anthem will be.
Okay. That's cool. All right, moving on to a little nerd news. TJ, you have an update for us.
I have an update. Guess what's back, guys? Toys R Us.
Surprise, surprise.
So, yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah, that was very quick. They posted on the Toys R Us Twitter that guess who's back? And it was a picture of...
Yeah,
Jeffrey the Giraffe, who showed up at like a random con, like a toy con.
Yeah, there was some random, it was some random toy convention. They had a little booth there, and I think they mentioned like a couple of specific toy brands that they were going to be, that they're pushing themselves for like their new brand or new store or whatever you want to call it.
It's going to be called, I think it's...
Jeffrey's Toy Box.
Yeah, Jeffrey's Toy Box. And the statement they're putting out is a group of the Toys R Us controlling lenders. They intend to buy back the company. They bought back the company's assets and are working with new partners to try to make more of like a smaller store and then build up. Like,
so is this not, do you know, this isn't the original CEO of the company. This is the lenders themselves.
Yeah, they bought the assets.
Yeah, didn't
the
CEO just like totally liquidate everything?
Yeah, yeah. But see, that's what I think is interesting, because I feel like a lot of people are getting mad, and like especially the ex employees are getting pissed off and everything. But I don't think the people who are doing everything now were the people who were in control before.
No, it just sucks as an employee when they said, "Oh well, we're gonna, you know, close shop and we're not paying severance because we have no money left." Then 2 months later, the company comes back out of nowhere. Right.
Guess what we did with all your severance pay, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they posted on their Twitter, the Toys R Us were like, share your favorite moments.
Yeah.
And a lot of it got destroyed by the fucking ex-employees who were like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't trust the internet.
My favorite moment is when you fucking fired me.
Yep. That's a good one. Jeffrey, I got three words for you. Class action lawsuit.
I'm sure he's heard that saying many times over the past few years.
Yeah, apparently there's about $75 million of unpaid severance that was there. And they kind of just went, we're liquidating. So you're fucked.
Ridiculous.
Fun fact, I had Chipotle last night, so I'm also liquidating.
Now.
Gross.
We're gonna have to speed this episode up a little bit,
guys.
All right, moving
on. They were talking about like doing little like more like
booths like
and
pop
stuff,
up, yeah,
pop up stuff,
and that seems to be the big thing now. Because when I was mentioning last week about Circuit City, they had the same thing. We're gonna open up a website and then we're gonna open up a pop up store inside of other people's stores. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of it kind of like AT&T booths that or whatever, booths that are in like Best Buy, the kiosk.
So like they would have like the biggest name toys, like smaller toys there.
Imagine going into Best Buy and finding a Toys R Us kiosk.
I understand what they're doing, and I definitely think it was an interesting way to go, because like, you know, like I said this last week, the big box stores are really hard to maintain unless you are Walmart, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good plan to say like, okay, you know, you have a store, you have a toy section, let us, Toys R Us, control that toy section for you. And we'll stock and everything like that. So look out. We still don't know what stores they partner with. We just know what toys that they're really like marketing right now.
It looks like they're just going to start the website first and then go build from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, just, building off of that Circuit City model. That's successful.
It just sucks for the people who fucking were employed there and got screwed out of $75 million.
Yeah. If you're listening now and you've been screwed by Toys R Us, give us a call. We'd love to hear your story.
And then do nothing with it.
Yeah. No, we'll get you on the show. We'll get,
we'll get you on the show. No one
we'll
listens
a little,
to
it. We'll do a little. I mean, if they're listening, they'd listen. Anyway, moving on. I got a little something for nerd news. So, Suicide Squad 2 has found its new writer, James Gunn.
I saw this. I was like, damn.
I'm pretty sure this is just going to be a movie about how he committed career suicide.
He committed career suicide?
A little bit.
Not really. I mean, if you call something he did like 10 plus years ago committing career suicide, if he happened last, we're not here to discuss that though. It's so funny reading people's like opinions on this and the reactions and like people being like, I never expected to be excited for a Suicide Squad movie on like a Tuesday, you know? And it was just like one of those situations where this could be a turning point for WB and the DCU.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
I don't know.
What I'm going to tell you is that no. Because I thought the same thing when Joss Whedon took over for Zack Snyder.
Right, but
and
that's took
Justice
over.
League was still not that good.
I think WB and DC have too much say.
That's the thing. A lot of people,
producers.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying the only way this would work out is if they gave James Gunn like carte blanche, like Marvel did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. And it's a very similar situation. Like, I feel like Suicide Squad, not that you would compare Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy, but like they're this offshoot comic, not a part of the main.
Right. They're the more over the top type of thing.
But there's only certain ways that this would really work out with James Gunn as a director. Like
that they drop all the previous content.
Well, again, like we don't know anything. All we know is that he has signed on to be the writer, possibly direct. Still don't know. A bunch
they're
of people.
Smart, they
yeah,
will.
If they're smart, they will.
Yeah.
And a couple of people, like even David Ayer, who directed the first one, has even like he was like, this is the most amazing thing that the WB has done. Like, even though
that's
he's not
a
yet,
tall list
yeah,
there.
But
really.
Like, even though he's not the one who's directing the second one, he directed the first, like, he didn't come back. Like, he's just like, James Gunn is exactly
I took a dump in a church and it was better than anything that DC has ever done.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that DC's done, not movie wise.
Yeah, that's what I mean, movie wise.
Well, movie wise, but animated movie wise. Except for Killing Joke.
And Wonder Woman. That was good.
Wonder Woman was good. But also, like, James Gunn, he's, like, a horror, gore, shock, you know, director. And what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I feel was, like, out of his comfort range.
Yeah, it was, like, straight comedy.
But
you know?
Still, but he still is a comedy. He's, like, this gore, like, horror, gore, comedy kind of director. But, like, it's still, like, I don't know. Like, I think he did a good job with his skill set in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I think he can take that, but only if WB says, here are the keys. You can do what you want and let him do an R rating, which I don't think he's going to get the R since
I don't
PG-13.
So.
I'm sorry. Like, let me do a quick correction. Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Right. Yeah.
And also,
God, what a
like,
joke.
He's also got to like try to remove the minefield that is the first movie. So he's got to get around that. He's got
to. I don't think he has to, though. I think his name has enough recognition from Guardians of the Galaxy that it doesn't matter.
I disagree, because I think that the majority of people who see superhero movies can't really, really differentiate one from the other. So they're not going to ping to his name. And the majority of the people that are going to line up to see Suicide Squad clearly don't know anything about comics anyway. So they're probably in the same boat where they're not going to know who he is or what Guardians of the Galaxy was.
But hear me out on this. All the people who know who James Gunn is and go to see these movies are excited because they like James Gunn and they have faith that he could resurrect Suicide Squad. Other people who just go to superhero movies liked Suicide Squad.
That's true. Yeah. they liked it anyway.
I'm just saying, like, I think
it'll probably do well.
Oh, no, it will do well.
The problem is for anyone who gives a shit.
Yeah.
There's definitely no way I'm going to go see it because the first one was a fucking nightmare shell.
God, what a disaster.
Death.
Yeah.
And it brought in that Joker.
I'm really interesting to see this. This should be the turning point. Like, this Suicide Squad movie could be the turning point for the DCEU movies in that. I shouldn't say that. I back that up. Aquaman technically could because, what's his name? The director. Is it James Wan?
Yeah, James Wan.
James Wan.
James Wan's a horror director.
Right. And WB gave him the keys to the kingdom. They said you can do what you... They actually gave him a little more room to in the directing. And, like, that gives me a little bit of hope. And from what I've seen so far, you know, there's possibilities.
But the first step in the new direction is Suicide Squad 2 and Aquaman?
Yeah.
You know what? I think that Wonder Woman was the first step in the new direction. It was the first.
No, it's true. It's the first time they were like,
let's do something that's not Batman and Superman.
Right. Yeah. But then look.
Or Batman versus Superman. Yeah.
But then look what followed it up.
Yeah.
Was Justice League, right. Which was
a clusterfuck.
You know what? Justice League had.
It was just a baseline. Like, there was nothing.
It had the pieces to be a decent movie.
Yes.
Where they really dropped the ball was the beginning of the movie.
Where they really dropped the ball was two directors.
That too. But you can't blame them. Zack Snyder.
Also Superman.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, CGI not fucking limp. But again, like,
well, no, just these in general, things, like, he's just super OP.
Right.
And way too powerful.
That's realistic. Yeah. I mean, he kind of is. So
I mean, but Wonder Woman can go toe to toe with him.
I know.
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a
woman
fighter.
TJ. But like, Justice League should have just followed the exact story arc of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Where Justice League lost me at first was they introduced all of the heroes and then introduced the villain. And I think they should have introduced the villain very first. That scene where
I had a quick moment. I was like, wait, there was a villain in Justice League?
Yeah, I forgot who it was.
Yeah, it's Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf.
It took me a second to
the
be
the
like,
scene
oh,
that they
shit,
introduced
right,
Steppenwolf, where he like destroyed. I think it was the mascara. Like, that should have been the opening scene, just like they did in the Avengers, where the first thing is what Loki does.
Yep.
And like, that is because that would have been like, now I know why I'm supposed to care about these characters. Instead, they spent 25 minutes giving each character a few minutes of screen time, introducing them. And then I found out why I'm supposed to care.
Right.
And I'm even someone who knows these characters and like knows what to expect. And I was still like, why should I care?
Right.
So anyone who doesn't really know had no reason to give a shit.
Also, the big problem was also people reeling that Superman died when all they did was shit on him in the previous movie.
I know.
And everyone,
they hated him so much.
And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh no, Superman's dead.
Yeah.
It's like, but there wasn't really any reason to be this like, woohoo, about.
Because again, nothing happened to make you.
Right, which is an issue with a lot of these movies to begin with, is that it's all action and no substance. Like, nobody knows anything about character development.
Yeah, which is, I feel like they tried to do.
But I will correct that in saying the only people that do know how to do that is the Russo brothers. I think that they're one of the few directors who actually, what's E.T.?
I thought that Joss Whedon did a fine job in the Avengers of...
No, that's true, yes. I'll give you Joss Whedon as well.
Giving character development. But that's what bothers me is, like, I know he can do it, and then I watched him not do it, which goes back to WB and DC having too much control.
Also, the same thing happened where he did it, and then Avengers 2 came out, Age of Ultron, and it's like, what happened?
Yeah, that's true. That movie's terrible.
That's when Marvel stepped in. Wait, was it just Marvel? Yeah. Marvel stepped in and was like, okay, we're going to put the brakes on some stuff. You have to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And he's just like, why? Like, let me tell the story the way I told it last time.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what he did in Infinity War. And Infinity War was pretty great.
Thinking of Russo's.
Russo's did Infinity War?
That was the
War?
Russo's,
Oh, okay.
That's why all the Captain America movies are so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Civil War. Let's not get into that.
Yeah, we're going to get it. I mean, like I said, I'm very interested to see where everything is going now for the DCEU, knowing that like the Matt Reeves Batman is still on sans,
that's never sans going
Ben
anywhere.
Affleck. The three Joker movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
James Gunn is now a writer, possibly director in the new Suicide Squad movie. And
there's Flash movies.
No, there is one more thing I was going to. Oh, and then Margot Robbie's doing a Birds of Prey.
That might be cool.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, all right, we've been doing this podcast for like 3.5 years now. And I feel like we've been having this exact conversation for 3.5 years. And over the past 3.5 years, Marvel has continuously pumped out good movies.
Right.
And they do multiples of them every year. Yeah. And people still
like
rave
I'm
about
trying
them.
To think of during the course of this podcast what the worst Marvel movie to come out was.
Right.
And it was probably Civil War.
I agree.
And other than that, I don't think I would
Iron Man 3 come out?
No, Iron Man 3 was before Civil War. I don't think I would categorize any other Marvel movie that's come out during the course of this 3.5 years as even bad. All of them are at very least good.
Yes.
And Civil War has a lot of parts of it that are,
Civil War has a lot of good stuff in it.
Like the fucking highway scene is like the greatest fight scene in the world.
It's just lacking, you know, there's just little.
Yeah. I even think that that's very good, that movie. It's just not, it's not great.
Yeah,
right.
It's not.
It's the least good of the movies in this time span that we're talking about, really.
But you know what the common denominator is here?
Tony Stark.
Kevin Feige. WB does not have a Kevin Feige.
Nobody has a Kevin Feige except for Marvel.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that.
I'm sure there's another one in the world somewhere.
Star Wars has a Kathleen Kennedy, which we can...
But she's not a Kevin Feige. Her name is Kathleen.
Right, right.
You're an asshole.
Shut up. You know what I mean. Anyway, moving on. To get some geek on geek off. Dom...
Yeah, so I got two things that kind of wrap up into the same thing.
And
I'm glad that they happen kind of day after day here.
Day after day. No, wait. What song is that?
That was Step by Step.
Yeah, Step by Step.
Day by day.
I was thinking another song. I don't know what it was, though.
I don't know either. So anyway. Microsoft is developing what they call Project xCloud, which is essentially the ability to play your Xbox and or Windows games on any device. And really, it's going to take your internet connection, and it's basically just streaming the game to your device. So the initial video is someone on their phone with their Xbox controller hooked up to it playing Forza Horizon 4.
Huh.
Why the fuck would you do that to begin with?
No, no, that makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's allowing you the ability to play your games on any device, regardless of where you
are.
Well,
I'm thinking more like, why the fuck would I be having an Xbox controller hooked up to a fucking
phone?
Where the fuck are you?
No, but say that you're on a business trip. You're not going to take your Xbox with you. You can take your controller with you, throw it in your bag, and now you can play your games in the hotel.
I feel like I would just get a Switch at that point.
Right, you would.
Right.
But do you want to play Forza Horizon 4?
Yeah.
I'd just play fucking Mario Kart Valley.
Yeah. But that's what this kind
of is.
It's like
best game on a plane trip, by the way.
Regardless of where you are. But, you know, there's also the processing power that's involved. Like, this is stuff that you can't do on your phone. And now you can do on your phone. But just let's not pretend it's your phone. You're going to take your iPad Pro somewhere. Yeah. That's a 10, 11, 12-inch screen, something like that.
Set that bitch up on a plane.
Exactly. 10, set that up on a plane.
12, 17, 36-inch screen.
But now you have like a device that can legitimately play games strictly based off of an internet connection. That's all you need.
Yeah, but you're working.
I wonder what kind of like application this is through.
I assume it's going to be through the Xbox app that's already available.
Right. Yeah, but the streaming part of it, like what will I open up on my phone?
Probably the
Xbox app.
Oh. You're
going to probably launch from there. It'll be like the Xbox.
Yeah.
This would be, I mean, the thing is, like, again, this is Microsoft, so they're going to push it on their, like, their Surface tablets and
stuff.
Yeah,
of course.
It'd be really good
but I
like
can
that.
Launch my Xbox app on my computer, and I can stream. I can stream from my Xbox to there. Not the best, but it does work.
Yeah. That's the big issue, is the internet speeds are not,
that's of course,
I don't think, ready for this.
That's, of course, the question of, is that going to work?
Especially if you're trying to do inputs on a streamed game. I just feel like there's so much lag.
Right,
there.
There's
going to
be some sort of lag. So that's
especially,
always the,
yeah, with
the
like a
question,
Bluetooth
the problem.
Connection for, from a controller to your phone plus
and then
wireless.
Phone to wireless.
Exactly.
Internet.
So, yeah, I don't know exactly how the specs work, but at the same time, today, currently, right now, in Japan, Nintendo is streaming successfully Assassin's Creed Origins to the Switch. Exactly this. And it's working fucking awesome.
But this is
I don't know if you've seen the videos, but it looks phenomenal.
But this is from a central like Netflix. Like I'm streaming it from Nintendo servers.
Right.
Okay. Because this isn't. Because the thing is, like Steam has this. Like you can, I can put Steam on my computer, and I can play it from any other computer in the house that has Steam on it. I'm streaming it from my main gaming computer to any other computer.
Yeah.
But you're saying this is like their servers. Like I'd watch a movie from.
Yeah.
Netflix.
You're not streaming it from your house. You're not streaming it from your Xbox at home. You're streaming it like you would Netflix.
Off this is servers.
This is what people have been wanting for.
I can't imagine this working well until the 5G cords go out. 5G cables.
I agree. Well, yeah. I mean, why? Yeah. If you're not on Wi-Fi, I have a feeling it's not going to be great. 5G is definitely going to revolutionize this, and it's probably going to make this a legitimate possibility. But you're going to run into. We've already had problems with data caps because of streaming. Yeah. Movies and stuff. So now we're going to have even more problems with data caps because even the services that...
this is when Microsoft takes on net neutrality.
Not only that, this is when Microsoft takes on like Verizon and AT&T. They're going to offer their own cell phone service or data plans so you
fucking
can do this stuff.
Do it. Because, bring back the Windows phone.
Yeah.
Just make it better.
Yeah.
Because if you get an unlimited data plan, it's still usually not unlimited. I've seen unlimited data plans that you can only have 60 gigs of data. Yeah. You ain't streaming a fucking game much on 60 gigs of data.
Especially when games now are... 130 game downloads.
Exactly. I use 500 to 700 gigs of data every month in my house.
Jesus.
And that's not even
in your house.
In my
like,
house.
On your phone. I was like, holy shit, what are you doing?
And obviously,
how much do you pay?
That's gaming on Xbox.
That's a lot of porn.
I Switch. You know, I do YouTube on... I do YouTube on and Netflix and stuff on the Xbox, but my cable box has both of those built in, so that usage is severely limited. And that's, you know, computer usage and stuff like that. So I run a pretty normal household, I would say, for data usage. Yeah. Maybe a little on the high end, but not crazy. I'm not the type of person who's gaming and streaming 8 hours every day.
Right.
So... TJ, I bet you if you looked at your data statistics of what you actually use, you're probably using a terabyte and a half every month.
I would not doubt it. Where can I find that?
I don't know. Xfinity has it built right in. I can tell you. I can pull up my app right now and tell you how much data I've used this month.
Because with two very, very heavy internet
gamers,
users,
between you and your brothers.
Like, I feel like that would be at least double what a normal person is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like... sorry, I'm like kind of trying to look it up and talk at the same time when it's not working well. But like, you know, this is stuff that I don't know. I feel like 2 years ago when the Switch was announced and like when the 360 or when the Xbox One and PS4 were like just getting into the groove, like this is stuff that like we could only dream about. Like imagine, you know, everyone's going digital and it's like, imagine we just had a streaming service and that would never work. And like, here we are 3 years into these consoles life cycles and it's happening now.
I don't think internet speeds have gotten to the point where this is
but I think
usable
they're
in most
on the
areas.
Way. I think
right.
they're on
That's
the way.
That's the thing is, yeah, it might not be usable in most areas right now, but we need the right now to get them there. Because if we don't have it, if we wait for it to be available, will never be available.
It's the same thing with Netflix. You got to think, I mean, if you look at Netflix's story, when they switched to their digital platform, I don't know what to call it, but their internet platform where they actually started streaming and everything. Then they started going to companies and saying to those people, or specifically like hubs that have routers, they went to those companies and said like, hey, you're getting a lot of data from our service running through here. Let us put a server in here and maintain it and optimize it for our service. And, you know, like, and then to just rent out these spaces where they can just plop down servers. So now instead of like, you know, me having to go to fucking like California just to get Netflix, like there's a server somewhere in New York that I'm going to.
Right.
You know, and I think this is something that Microsoft is going to do.
Yeah.
That
because, well, in order to get the innovation, you need to have not just the need, but you kind of need to have like the fire. Like everything has to be a disaster in order for this to actually happen. That's just the way the technology works.
Yeah.
If things are working or marginally working, you're pretty much just going to putter along with that. Until things are a fire, nothing's going to get done.
Right.
And I do want to know, today is October 10th, and I have used 172 gigs of data.
Wow.
Last month in September was 553. August was 540. July, for some reason, was 434. I guess I had a light month.
This up.
Yeah. That's how much I use a half a terabyte of data monthly, and now that's down. That's using less because I can have all these things on my cable box too.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like that's how much data people are using.
All right.
Well, if you have good internet. Though.
Yeah.
If you have good internet.
I don't.
Well, I mean, compared to say, go half an hour upstate from here.
Yeah.
You're going to run into people. Still, like, I had still DSL from only a few years ago.
We don't care about those people.
Well, it's because Time Warner has a monopoly of upstate New York and they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
There's a reason. There's a reason why New York City makes New York blue and not red.
Yeah.
But like there's a lot of places, especially in the middle of the country, where it's all like that.
Right.
It's all slow speed.
That's what I'm saying.
It sucks to be
And there's three people out there.
But we need that suck to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only going to be good for us. Not those people out there are still going to be fucked.
For now.
Supply and demand, though. The thing is, if we give the service and we put the service out in the middle of fucking Wyoming where there's nobody, and enough of those people are like, look, this isn't working. We need to do something about it. Then lobbyists are going to come out and we're going to start figuring out what do we need to do? Can we increase the bandwidth? Do we put 5G out there? More servers, closer? Like it needs to be out there first to cause the fire, like you said.
Exactly.
To be put out.
People need to be mad at it for not working before it will ever work.
Right.
And that's the one thing that I thought that Google Fiber was going to change this country. And I don't know what happened.
It does in the cities it's at.
But why did that not happen everywhere else?
And that's a great transition into the last thing that we're going to talk about on this episode, unless you have one last piece to say.
I have no other piece to say.
Okay. I mean, that's moving on with that same model where it's like you got to make that fire to have somebody like put it out. This is like Google's model for anything. They're just like, we're going to make something we want to make and we're going to give it to you. And if it doesn't work out, then oh, well.
Like, yeah, we'll just shut it down.
Google Glass.
We'll learn for it. But the thing about that is they take what did work and what people did like and they integrate into other things, which brings me to the Made by Google 2018 conference that just happened where Google revealed everything about the new Chrome OS and a bunch of their new Google products. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, like last year when the Pixel 2 came out, I had a moment where I was like, if I'm looking for a new phone, I wasn't paying for this one. I honestly might consider it. And now like my phone's paid off and the Pixel 3 came out and I'm just like, I am like seriously contemplating getting a Pixel 3 and I don't know why. And I don't know, like I just, ooh, there's something about it.
Coming after like a few days after Google said that they had a major data breach.
Right.
And then had to close Google Plus as well.
Yeah.
They shut down Google Plus.
Yeah.
Because of this major data breach.
And basically,
because no one was using the fucking thing.
Right. Yeah. But basically like everything, but on top of the data breach, everything that they showed, and they kind of made fun of this in the beginning of the conference. Everything they showed off, people already like knew most about it. Like
leaks.
They didn't. Yeah,
it's like E3.
Yeah, like they really did not do a good job keeping things contained and not leaking anything.
Well, that company's so fucking huge. Yeah. How do you do that?
I know. But I will say the things I want to talk about, like the highlights for me, the Google Hub. I want a Google Hub. I was honestly surprised because between my wife and I were like, we know a lot of people who have like who have Alexa and we have iPhones. So we have Siri on here and there's one more. What am I thinking of? The Apple Home. Apple Home. That's
but there's Apple Home. But there's also Google Home already.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about. Like we've been going through like what we have iPhones. Should we get like Apple Home? We know a lot of people who have Alexa. Should we do that? Or should we look into the Google Home? And between all of them, we've always come back to the Google Home. And after this conference, like, it's just kind of like solidified that like this is what I want to do. And the big thing about that is like, so they came out with the Google Hub, which is basically like, you know, Alexa, Amazon sells it to you. It's like a tablet display with the built in, you know, voice recognition and everything. I think the smartest thing they did on that was they didn't put a camera on it. So they're like, you'd be comfortable with it in your bedroom.
That's good.
Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting.
Don't have to find that little sticker that you have to put over the camera.
Right.
While you're banging.
Still records your audio.
Yeah. But like for me.
You're done.
That's it. Google just shit talks you during sex.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah, whatever you're into.
Yeah, I don't know. But like there's like all the products that came out, like nothing was really like special or like really jumped out. But there's something about the products that they put out that like, I don't know, just get me excited. Like I really like their products. I like their aesthetic. With that being said, they also showed off the new Chromebook, which is the Pixel. So there's the Pixel Book and then the new one, which is the Pixel Book Slate, which is like their iPad Pro.
Okay.
And what I'm starting to realize is just like Apple and just like Microsoft with the Surface, now Google is putting out these products like the Slate where it's like the price is reflected based on the aesthetics of the device.
How cool it'll look in your local coffee shop.
Yeah. So the big thing now is this, you know, Pixel Book Slate that came out. It's a tablet and it comes with a keyboard that you can dock it into and has a pen, again, like the iPad Pro and like the Surface. But like with all the parts and all the design going into it, I think the final price on it is something like, I think the base is just $600, which really isn't terrible. The keyboard's $200.
Still like nuts, though.
Yeah, the keyboard's $200, and then the pen is another $100. Which what amazes me is the fact that the fucking keyboard is $200.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like the keyboard is one third the price of a tablet.
Yeah, like and that, all it is a fucking Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, and you know, like their big thing is like, for whatever reason, their big thing is the camera. Like Google is obsessed with the camera.
Either.
The Pixel 2 still years later has the best camera out of all current phones.
Really?
It even
beats the 10S that just came out.
Yeah.
Like not that iPhone has ever done anything good with cameras. Low light Apple.
Oh God.
How fucking hard
That's
is
right.
it?
Samsung is just as bad with low light.
I don't get it. Google apparently is amazing.
There was a Nokia Lumia, I think it was, a few years ago that had like a 20 megapixel camera and had like awesome low light. And I was like, why is this not on every phone?
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, on top of that, on top of the cameras being so good and like using the Google AI system to take better photos, like their whole thing was like you take a photo of like a scene that's going on, but like something happens, like you and your dog, but your dog sees something and runs away. You can literally scroll back because it takes several shots before and after you take the picture and you can find like before the dog
moved. So it starts off
at
terabyte size.
Right. So like, I mean, there's cool stuff like that. And I think like the display can show like true 4K display.
Jesus.
Their displays and the picture quality is ridiculous.
Yeah. Which is where the price is. Like it's stuff like
but
that.
But I've heard
and
the fall sense. The fallout is the system itself.
Right.
Is not as smooth as iPhone and it doesn't have as many features as an Android device.
And I think that's mainly because it's built off of Linux. You know, that's like Google's whole support. But I also think that's kind of like where it helps it. Like I think so iPhone, you're very restricted with everything that you want to do, especially when it comes to building apps and integrations and stuff like that. And they're just starting to get to that point where they're opening up, which is why we got, Google Maps and
Waze.
Thank you. On Car Home
or
CarPlay, because they finally open up their fucking navigation API. But then you have Android where it's really fucking easy to make an app for whatever you want. You can make 5 million Flappy Bird games and throw them on their store without any consequence. And then Google is like, we're going to put our money into open source. So they built an entire OS based on Linux. And what's cool about that is the Chrome OS for the longest time was really limited. It was like, okay, great. It's like
memory hungry.
Yeah, but it's also like their whole thing was like, we built the Chrome browser and nobody's computer knows how to run it. And I'm like, then you built a bad product.
Yeah.
So they're like, we built a computer that can handle it. And I'm like, you still built a bad browser. like my browser shouldn't be taking up like 1.5 gigabytes of RAM every single time I open up one tab.
They
like,
all do now, though. Firefox does the exact same thing now.
Yeah.
There's like, welcome if you look at your task manager, it's just like Firefox.
But if you know anything
about, using Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, it's Edge.
Yeah, Edge. Yeah,
no. We got all emo on us.
Yeah.
Fucking Edge Lord.
God. Yeah. But I mean, really, I'm excited to see these products. I definitely want to take a look at the Pixel 3. I'll probably, the thing is I am looking for a new laptop to replace my notebook because I have a notebook because I'm an idiot. And I spent like netbook, which is like, you know, a tiny ass, like 12 inch has like nothing in it. But I had like $300 to spend and that was the best deal at the time. I'm definitely going to look at not getting an actual Pixelbook. You're better off buying like an Acer that's running the Chrome OS because Acer will put like an i5 in there with like a terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, but the Chrome OS sucks.
But it doesn't now if you like Linux.
Right.
So the Chrome OS now...
It doesn't suck if you like not doing anything.
Hey, I put Linux on a wristwatch. No, but I mean, the thing is it's now opened up where you can run any fully fledged Linux application, which is cool. So I don't know. I think it's interesting to look at. And also there was a new Chromecast. So I don't know what exactly.
I'm just not a fan of all the voice stuff. Yeah. Because A, it never recognizes you like it does when they show it off and shit.
Yeah. Right, right.
And B, I hate talking to people anyway. Why don't I want to talk to my fucking house?
Because your house and your phone will talk to people for you that you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, that's weird.
What are the cool... So, like, that's the duplex. That's what it's called. The duplex is the thing, and it'll be in the Pixel 3. I don't know if that's rolling out to the 2 and 1 in the software,
probably
in the
iOS
software. But duplex, so, like, you know, like, it'll make calls for you, but also the thing they added in there is if suspected spam comes in, it'll pick up for you and then send you a transcript of like what it's currently saying to the person on the other side, and you can say like, you know, like, oh, that's not spam, or it is spam, and then Duplex will say like, please take me off of your calling list.
Yeah.
And then block that number on your phone.
But it's going to be the same as the voice stuff where it's not going to be as good as when they show it off and not going to recognize as well. Because that's someone speaking clearly without an accent.
I know. I don't think that's true. Based on a lot of like, and I've showed you stuff where they called like, you know, like a Chinese takeout restaurant, and they still were able to decipher. I have a lot more faith in Google's ability to play with AI than I do with Apple's ability to do some if else statements for Siri. You know, like the fact that I can't be like, hey Siri, open up Spotify and play this playlist, you know, like. Why can Spotify not make integrations? Like, but if I have an Alexa, I can say like, hey Alexa, play this on this thing. And like, I don't know. But
so is that's Spotify that's doing that, or is that Apple that's doing that?
That's Apple.
Will it work on mine?
I don't know. I don't know how it does.
I do.
Oh yeah,
Bixby.
I'm sorry. I didn't make my.
What should I tell it to play?
I don't know. Just say
the
Bixby.
Step by step theme.
Yeah.
Hey Bixby. Open up Spotify and play the step-by-step theme.
I'm not able to do that.
Nope.
Yeah, well, no shit, Sherlock. That thing is worse than Siri.
That's Bixby. Yeah.
It is, because not only does it not work, it also doesn't recognize half the fucking stuff that you say.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, either way, I still think the products are cool and the services they offer are very cool and innovative, and especially when it comes to like smart homes. I think that's really where they're pushing, and their smart homes are getting better, and there's a shit ton of integrations, especially if you have like Hue light bulbs and Nest and stuff like that.
I really like that stuff.
It'd be cool. It's just super expensive still.
Right. Yeah. It is.
Open up Spotify. See if it does it at all.
Looks like I'm not able to do that.
Yeah. And I can't even open it.
You're useless.
Phones suck.
I will say the hub isn't bad. It's priced at $150.
No, it's not terrible.
And that's, you got to think it has a tablet on it too, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's actually,
if it was
really
just
good.
A little fucking thing, I tell them to go eat.
Yeah. I think the Echo is what, like 30 or something like that?
Yeah. And you can get it on sale for like 20.
Yeah. 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 And
yep.
Then I don't
got
know how much.
20 or 25.
Yeah. I don't know how much the
tall one is normally, I think 70 or something. So you can probably get on sale for 50.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what the Alexa with the tablet is either, but I would assume it's somewhere
around
120, 150. All right. So that's all for us this week. Don't forget to check us out on genfailcast.com, where you can find all of our social media and blog posts. Like and subscribe to us and Lesson Zero Gaming on Twitch and YouTube. And please support and share our podcast and YouTube channel so we can continue to bring you content just like this. And check out warbyparker.com to see their new fall line of glasses you can try on at home.
We really need to change that from summer to fall.
Maybe one day.
Wait.
Wait,
when
are
it's
you,
winter.
Are you wearing a pair right now?
Yeah, I'm wearing a pair right now.
Everybody say bye.
Microsoft Edgelord.
Google own your soul.